This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Most disciplines have their own lingo, a set of vocabulary words specific to that field. Fans of TV crime procedurals have surely heard their share of legal jargon, evidence, Exhibit A.
The military is famous for telling us to watch our six so that the situation downrange doesn't become a snafu.
And even modest radio professionals are guilty. We have to back time our chat so we can hit the post and be sure to check the levels so we don't clip the audio.
Educators are becoming more and more infamous for their jargon, ESSA, IEP. Formative assessments, restorative practices. Unless you're a school policy wonk or a member of the education field yourself, all of this terminology can be daunting.
Jenny Hofschulte knows the feeling. She has been a parent in the Milwaukee public school system for 13 years and has experienced not being able to decipher conversations about her children's education.
As president of the advocacy group Parents for Public Schools of Milwaukee, Hofschulte says it's important to help parents translate all of the EduSpeak so they can advocate properly for their kids. She said down at her local coffee shop to speak about the issue with Lake Effect's Rachel Morello.
When your kids started going through MPS, you were new to public schools, you were new to like board meetings and all the stuff that maybe you're more involved in now. Mm-hmm. What was your like impression of it all when you first started to get involved? So obviously you're very involved now and you have a lot of knowledge of what's happening in the district and throughout the state.
Right.
But at first, when you were new to it, how did you educate yourself? How did you learn about the issues? Okay.
Our home school is a small school site within Milwaukee Public Schools, and so much of, you know, everything that happens is based around your numbers and your enrollment and what you're allowed to have. So even as far back as like 2005, 2006, before statewide budget conversations became on the tip of everyone's tongue, small schools within MPS were already penalized. Like, we didn't have a librarian, we didn't have gym and art. And so I went to the principal and, you know, just asked questions like, why is this happening? And he would say, oh, well, you know, it's the school board. Go to the school board and try to figure out how that works. You know, they use Robert's rules and things like that just make it seem so, I don't want to say serious, because of course it's serious, but make it seem really untouchable. I know, it feels really cold, right? And I sort of made it a mission to figure out how the system worked.
You were mentioning procedures and red tape and approaching the school board and administration.
Right.
And the reason I'm here to talk to you is to gauge how you deal with all of this jargon that there is in the public school system. Talk to me about your experience initially with that and if it frustrated you, how it made you feel, how you approached understanding what people were saying to you with all of the flowery language they were using. And I guess we'll start there.
So in the beginning, just, you know, your first school board attending, like attending meetings, is, it feels really trepidatious, or like that you're doing something wrong, or that you're kind of asking for something that's out of turn, maybe. And the frustration that things can't be sort of discussed in real time. You know, you have to figure out how you get on an agenda and like how you ask for permission for things. And so that part of it doesn't feel very democratic or open. And then as far as getting parents there, I mean, we did things as basic in the beginning as offering like a one-page sheet of, when you get there, this is how you sign in. This is how you're going to introduce yourself into the microphone. This is how much time you have to speak. 2 minutes of speech is about 150 words of text. Like, make sure your 150 words count. And there does, I mean, there's so much language that comes with it. And over time, I've found that the language is a humongous distraction for schools and communities and for parents, in that, of course, people want things like rigor, right? All these words sound so awesome, but we forget to look and ask, like, were these things happening before it became somebody's flowery language today, right? Do we need an outside curriculum that, you know, has all the jargon linked into it to, before we even go and ask a teacher, like, what does your science curriculum look like? What could you use to service children better? Where is the impetus of some of this coming from? Why do we choose to pick up certain curriculum and not other curriculum? And having those discussions. Oftentimes what's more frustrating maybe than even the language is that they bring in parents and community for input on things, like sort of after decisions have been made or after the panel of options has been sort of winnowed down. And then instead of it being like, what do you think about this? What does your school need? What are we missing? it turns into, oh, what do you think about this? Oh, okay, well, this is what we're doing. It doesn't really matter what words you use when that is sort of the methodology of decision making is frustrating. And then it just takes a few words to make someone in a space feel like they are not the expert of their own child or the expert of the community and their own experiences to make them not come back. And I don't think people do that with intentionality. I think they just don't think intentionally about what that does. When you just start throwing around acronyms and you start throwing around, you know, language and multiple syllable words, you know, the next thing you know, you watch parents just shut down. Like, they came there because they're upset because their child deserves something and their school community is missing something, and it gets reduced to them not feeling like they deserve to be there in that space.
I feel like I have so many conversations with people about how uninvolved some parents become mm-hmm. in their child's education and how that might be part of the quote-unquote problem mm-hmm. with our school system. I wonder if you think some of what is happening with all of this language and all of this procedure mm-hmm. might be part of the issue for some parents, that, like you said, it shuts them down and then they don't feel like the expert and they don't feel like they have any voice.
Right.
Do you feel like that's the case for some people? Have you had experience with people who have come to you and said, I need help understanding this so that I can get involved? Otherwise, I don't feel like I can do anything.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a bulk of the work that Parents for Public Schools members, our board members, our regular membership, and then just other involved parents in the community, I feel like a large part of it is, if you're a little bit engaged, so much of it is just translating for people. You know, what does this acronym mean? What is the long-term effect of that? What is a national issue? What's a state issue versus what's a local issue? You know, whose lap does this lay in? Who do we go to for power? You know, is this just a conversation with your classroom teacher? Or is this a principal thing? And navigating that and where voice and advocacy can make the most difference. I think for a long time in Milwaukee, and this is just talking to families too, but their experience was that teachers and principals and administration, you know, they were the experts. They knew how to educate kids. Kids came to school and they would take care of it there. What we don't talk as much about, and we should be always on the tips of our tongues, are like the root causes of problems in our community and what has been lingering there for literally decades. And so that went from, you know, in the end of the 80s to the schools being the experts to, well, we can't do it without parents and our parents don't care. And I think our parents have been trained in some aspects to not come because they either themselves had, you know, poor experiences in schools, or because when they go, they don't feel like they are knowledgeable enough to participate. And we tell parents, like, you're the expert of your own child. Like, no one knows them better than you do, for what it's worth. Do kids behave differently at school than they would at home or, you know, out with their friends? Of course. But at the end of the day, like, if you're having, you know, a gut reaction to something, that means something as a parent. And, like, our teacher training programs don't do enough, I don't believe, to train teachers on how to communicate with parents and how to have culturally relevant conversations and how to talk about really, you know, tough talk on both sides that can be, like, deliberative and productive conversation and not, you know, a blame game.
So you mentioned something about teacher training. You wish that teachers were trained better on how to communicate with parents. Mm-hmm. You mentioned groups like your own who are doing these things, like providing these sheets of how to participate and what these things right. mean. And what other solutions do you think that there are? Or do you think it's just a matter of keeping putting those Band-Aids on things so that parents can navigate a system that maybe isn't set up to be easy for them? Is it a matter of changing the system or is it a matter of just supplementing it?
I think some of it is looking at the system as a whole and where are the breakdowns, and then actually engaging the public in solving the problem. And it isn't unique to schools. You know, a lot of places deal with this, you know, language switch, code switching, you know, adjusting to the times without being really maybe thoughtful about it. And for every parent that walks in the door, they've trusted the district with their kids. And I don't know if that's like something you have to, like, you know, like some places put like smile when you answer the phone so you sound cheery, right? I wonder if, like, does it take a note that says, like, this family trusted you with their children today? to just sort of remember what parents are coming in with that kind of anxiety.
Jenny Hofschulte is the parent of two MPS students and leader of the advocacy group Parents for Public Schools of Milwaukee. She spoke with Lake Effect's Rachel Morello.